Well, good morning, everyone. It's Pastor Jeremiah. I just want to welcome you to our online service this morning. Thanks so much for tuning in as we continue our sermon series. We're calling Because I Said So, trusting God when His ways are not our ways. And we live in a culture that in so many ways looks at the principles and the commandments in the scriptures as old-fashioned, as for yesteryear, as for back in the olden days, but not really relevant to today's culture. But what we're going to look into is the Ten Commandments in particular and how they have shaped and structured our society in the 21st century. And also how so many times when we look at those commandments on the surface and we think, oh, well, that sounds old-fashioned. When we dig into it, there's a great deal of depth and truth to it that guides us and grounds us in reality. And so we're going to take a look at one such passage this morning as we talk about the fifth commandment, which is to honor your father and your mother. Sounds pretty old-fashioned, right? Well, we're going to jump into it. I want to start this way. When I first visited the nation of Kenya, I've been there a few times now, one of the things that I noticed immediately was how incredibly formal everything was. Greetings there were very formal. When you greet somebody, you'd greet them in a much more formal way than I was used to, certainly in the United States. Gatherings were very formal with, you know, again, introductions and all sorts of proceedings that would happen before everything could get started. Meal times were very formal, and certain people would eat first, and everything was very orderly in that regard. And as a Westerner, and with a very different cultural perspective, it became annoying to me, because as an American, growing up in American society, it seemed also very unnecessary to be so formal about things. And again, from my American perspective, there were much more efficient ways of running things, which in my arrogance, I looked down upon the way that they functioned and the things that they were doing, especially the third and fourth time I witnessed it. Maybe the first time it was kind of a novelty or something. Oh, wow, that's different. But after a while, I just became just very impatient. I became very frustrated with all these formal ways of going about things. And to an extent, I think my perception, right, our culture, right, can certainly look at that and say, well, yeah, I mean, there are a lot of things there that are a little overboard, right? It's overboard, some of the honor that's given to authority and some of the free reign that they have to abuse that power in a nation like Kenya, where there's a lot of corruption and a lot of unhealthy things going on. However, over the years, I've come to realize that there may be an excess of formality and honor in cultures like Kenya, but in our culture, there very likely is a deficit of those things, which is also equally, if not maybe even more, harmful to us. And this shows up in a number of ways in our cultural context. Now, how we treat older generations, I believe, is a reflection to our inability to really honor and give respect to those who have come before us because of some of this lack of formality, because of this this cultural context that we live in. There's virtually no honor given or respect given to many of our institutions in America these days. And they've suffered massive institutional reputational loss because we no longer trust them. We no longer respect them. Think of the media. You know, a lot of respect lost for the media. Politicians, certainly. That's been going on for a number of years. But other institutions like universities, we don't trust experts anymore. We don't trust our coaches, our teachers, our parents, right? On and on. These structures of authority that we have in our society, their ability to maintain trust, dignity, our respect for those things is eroding as we move into this 21st century. Thirdly, the authority of parents has eroded before an entire generation of children who are increasingly rebellious, independent, and they're empowered to be these things by a permissive culture that glorifies youth. And we have enlisted them now as influencers, in our society. He's the ones who are our influencers, right? On the various social medias. And I know I sound like a curmudgeon old adult. Nevertheless, if we sit back and we consider the state of things now, I think we recognize that all three of these things are taking place. Our treatment of older generations is not particularly going well. Our respect for institutions and areas of authority in our society, and in particular, I think the capstone of that is happening in the home, where there is a disrespect and a disregard for parents. Now, into this cultural malaise, the Word of God speaks, and it speaks in a way that is counter what we are experiencing. And so in those moments, it's important for us to take a step back and say, okay, what is God trying to convey through these words? Through these words of wisdom, these words of guidance given to us. And our text comes from Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, again, the fifth commandment. As God speaks to the Israelites and says, honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Now, why does this sound so old-fashioned to us? Right? Well, it's something we've heard over and over again from every person in authority, every person from the previous generation. They're going on and on and on about things like honor and respect. Now, first off, I would argue that this commandment is about much more than just the family dynamics. There's a lot more going on here than just the authority of parents. The Israelites are coming out of Egypt where they've been enslaved. God is seeking to establish a code of conduct to help govern them in this society that they are developing. And I believe that it's being directed towards their understanding of how to function as a society. And God instructs them to give due honor to the generations that have gone before them. And that is how a society is rightly ordered. And why? Well, there's a couple of very important reasons as to why this is the case. Number one, older generations have an excess of wisdom. Wisdom is found in those older generations. Not every single person has learned lessons and developed wisdom over the years, but time has a way of establishing wisdom in the heart of a person. And youth is typically lacking in wisdom, lacking in knowledge and understanding. When I was young, I remember making this ridiculous comment. I had just moved to the city of Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, which is a beautiful town. It's on a lake. I was very excited about living there and living in someplace new without my parents. And so I really believed that Coeur d'Alene was the up-and-coming city. We had some friends visiting. They were developers, and so they were talking about all the construction that was going on and all the growth that was taking place in Coeur d'Alene. And I turned to them in full seriousness. I said, yeah. You know, I said, Coeur d'Alene is growing so fast that in about 10 years, it's going to be the size of Seattle, which is where I live now. And this person looked at me, it was an older gentleman, and he looked at me like, are you a moron? Like, I mean, how could you even say something like that? Of course, I had no knowledge of populations and growth rates, and I had no ability to understand economies and how you have to support jobs, and Seattle had ports and all these. I mean, nothing. I had no understanding of what drove a population to increase or decrease for that matter. So this person looked at me like I was a moron because I was a complete moron. I was a person who had no knowledge, no understanding. I mean, from my perspective now, looking back at my old self and all of my wisdom and knowledge over the years that I've gained, I'm like, what a moron. I mean, who would say something like that, right? But I was just a kid. I had no ability to understand those complex dynamics. And nowadays, I run into the same thing with my kids, right? I mean, my kids are convinced that LeBron James is the GOAT. He's the greatest of all time. But they never lived through the Jordan years, right? Kidding aside, wisdom is found in experience, right? Wisdom is found in those older generations. That could be one reason as to why we ought to honor our father and our mother. Because as young children, we don't typically understand the way the world works. Secondly, experience. The experience of older generations speaks volumes as to how we ought to function in life and live through the ups and downs, the different experiences that we will have throughout the course of our lives. I was reading an article recently about younger investors being in a lot of trouble right now because for the longest time, there was a dynamic where there was cheap money. You could always get a loan for a very, very inexpensive loan for money and to gain and raise capital for your startup business, for instance, or to IPO or whatever it is. And so it was an investment article speaking about a whole generation of people who had been raised on over a decade of easy money, of easy monetary policy, which allowed them to borrow as much money as they needed to get their startup off and running. And they could leverage that money that they could borrow in order to give them time to execute on whatever it was their business plan was. But now you actually have to be profitable in order to be successful. You have to execute and demonstrate that you can execute in order to even get funding from investors and get loans and all these kinds of things. And so it's a very different environment. It's actually a normal environment. They lived in an excessive environment because they're so young. Many of them have never experienced a downturn. They've never experienced it in their life. And a lot of these older investors are having to counsel them and give them guidance and say, no, this is actually the way the world works. This is normal, right? It's normal to have a difficult time to raise funding. It's normal to have to pay an exorbitant interest rate for a loan on funds. But they've never lived through that. But older people have lived through times of plenty. They've lived through times of famine. They lived through war. They've lived through peace. They've scars and memories and a myriad of stories and experience to pass down to the younger generation, if the younger generation will take the time to listen and to honor them and respect them for that. So what's so important about honor? Well, these two things are a great hint, right? The wisdom of older generations, the experience of older generations that needs to be handed down to younger people who need to have a proper attitude in the way they regard the generations that have come before them. Honor your father and your mother. Why is it commanded by God? First, let's define the word, and then we're going to unpack the significance of giving honor. Honor, very simple definition, is high respect or great esteem. High respect or great esteem. I'm going to look at three facts about honor. I'm going to talk about two ways that we can do a better job of practicing it or to model it and instruct our children to actually put it into practice. So first, three facts about honor. First, honor is a blessing to the one who receives it. Parents need positive affirmation just like anybody else needs positive affirmation. As a parent, I know this from personal experience, you stay up all night obsessing over the mistakes that you've made, wondering if you scarred your kids for life because you were too hard on them, or maybe because you were too easy, you weren't hard enough on them. Did I give them adequate moral instruction? Did I lead them into a relationship with God? Trying to thread the needle on so many issues is a really, really stressful job for parents. And we have so many things that we stress over, so many battles that we fight with uncertainty when it comes to raising our children. And so it's nice every once in a while to hear things like, hey, Dad, I appreciate you. You're doing a great job. Or, I love you. I really appreciate the time and the devotion and the way that you sacrifice for me, whatever it might be. It really makes a difference. It gives us, as parents, the confidence that we need to keep giving our best effort, which of course is in the best interests of the children. It gives us assurance. Maybe we're doing something right. It might give us the encouragement we need to keep doing that which is right. And so honor is a blessing to the one who receives it. That's an important fact that we should consider as we recognize the importance of giving honor to our father and mother. Secondly, honor is reciprocal. Honor is reciprocal. Remember, God made a promise to Abraham. He said, I'm going to bless those who bless you. And it's a similar deal that God makes in this commandment to honor your father and your mother. What does God say? God says, This is a commandment that is attached to a promise of long life in the land that I'm going to give you, which makes all the sense in the world. There's this practical application to this. When you listen to your parents, you're rewarded with the benefit of long life, right? You actually won't make as many dumb decisions. And it makes all the sense of the world. Think about when you were young and what did your parents instruct you to do? Don't play in the street. You can get run over by a car. Don't run with scissors. Pretty good advice. Hey, chew your food before you swallow it. Also, can be a choking hazard. Important instructions, right? But as we get older, those instructions that we receive when we were kids seem so black and white, so easy to understand. Well, the instructions our parents gave us as we got older got a little more complicated, and we started to mistrust them on things like reserve sex for marriage, maybe, or you need to work hard, you need to study for that test, you need to get to bed on time. All these kinds of things that we were hearing from our parents kind of went in one ear and out the other for a certain stage in our lives. And then, of course, we got older, we became parents ourselves, and all of a sudden we had this fresh understanding of the wisdom of our parents and how incredibly wise they were to instruct us in those ways. And that's just, right, it's the facts of life, right? You go through that phase where it's like, do I really need to go to class like my parents say? Do I really need to limit my screen time? Right? And we would go through those phases where we mistrust, and then we come back into this place of trust because we recognize that the instruction that our parents were giving was a blessing to us. It didn't seem like a blessing during a certain stage, but it was a blessing. And honor has this reciprocal effect, right? When we honor our parents, right, the instruction that we receive from them, we tend to regard it in a higher, in a greater way. And so then that produces a blessing in our lives, which gives us the ability to honor them again, which gives them more of an incentive to invest their lives and their wisdom in us. And it's a reciprocal effect of honor, right? So children who give proper honor to their parents also receive better treatment from their parents. And that's the reciprocal nature. It's a lot easier to demonstrate kindness, patience, and love to a child who is respectful and has a grateful heart. I know this from experience, right? I don't want to say that I play favorites with my kids, right? But the one who is respectful, the one who has a grateful heart, tends to get better treatment as a child than a one who is disrespectful and disregards what it is that I say. Honor is this carousel of blessing, because the more we honor, the more we are blessed, and the more we'll honor, and so on and so forth. So that's the second truth. Honor is reciprocal. So honor is a blessing to the one who receives it. Honor is reciprocal. Third truth is this: it's more difficult to honor those who are close to you. And I want to land on this one just for a moment because I think it's important. It's difficult to see all the honorable characteristics of those who are close to you, because we tend to take for granted the many blessings that we receive, the skills, the abilities of those who are close to us. What we tend to focus on is their weaknesses or the things that they lack. And I think this kind of explains the white lab coat theory, right? You could tell your kids that they need to brush their teeth, they ought to brush their teeth to avoid cavities, but then they go into the dentist with the white lab coat, that's the metaphor, and the dentist tells them to brush their teeth, maybe with, you know, a drill in their hand, and all of a sudden, they're all ears, right? They're listening to what that dentist has to say. And it's the same dynamic with other funnier things as well, you know. I told my kids forever, hey, the 70s classic rock, golden age of musicianship. Yeah, they never would listen to me, but then there's that cool uncle or that cool teacher who introduces them to Led Zeppelin, and all of a sudden, they're like, oh, man, classic rock is it. You know, all of a sudden they're wearing Jimi Hendrix t-shirts and Bob Dylan, and they get it, right? Because that cool uncle, right, was the one that told them, right? They didn't listen to their dad. They listened to the cool uncle, right? So there's that white lab coat theory where we just kind of disregard those who are close to us. You know, they don't have anything insightful to say, right? But we kind of listen or give high regard to those who are just outside of our circle. You know, there's that human dysfunction where we just don't quite get it. Jesus speaks of this when in Mark chapter 6, he goes to his own hometown. He's been doing miracles. He's been teaching in other towns. And he comes to Nazareth, and people are amazed at his teaching. They're amazed at all these stories of all these miracles that he has done. But then they have this epiphany, and they say, wait, isn't this Jesus? Isn't his family from here? Like, we know his brothers, James, and we know his sisters, and this is just Jesus of Nazareth, the carpenter, right? And then they begin to disregard him. It says they took offense to him. Jesus responded in Mark 6, verse 4. He said, a prophet is not without honor except in his own town, among his relatives, and in his own home. And the people disregarded Jesus because they were so familiar with him. It's hard to honor those who are closest to you. That's where it's most difficult. They didn't recognize the authority that God had given Jesus, and they subsequently would not believe in him. And that lack of belief, that spirit of dishonor, crippled Jesus in his ability to do what it was that God wanted to do for them. And here's the lesson. Jesus was sent by the Father. He was commissioned to do a good work amongst the people. But he couldn't do it in his own town. A lack of honor actually prevented him from doing the work that God had called him to do. When we give honor, the opposite of this, when we give honor, we are inviting those in places of authority in our lives to be a source of blessing to us through the work that God has called them to do. And the position of authority that they have been placed over us, we give them permission when we honor them to do that to the best of their ability and to make a great impact in our lives. So we are incentivized to give honor to whom honor is due. How can we practice honor? How can we practice this command to honor better? I want to give you two really practical instructions in this. First of all, I want to say give honor even when it's unearned. And this is a very difficult instruction to follow. We kind of operate on the basis of, well, I'm going to give honor when you are honorable, right? When you are honorable, then I'll treat you with honor. What is deserved is the way we kind of tend to think about this. But rather, we ought to change our perspective and say, no, when I give honor, then it gives that person an opportunity to live honorably, right? So when I give honor, I actually can flip the script and maybe encourage that person towards a more honorable life. While Saul was still the king of Israel, David was anointed by Samuel to be the upcoming king. And so there was a power struggle. David became very popular. Saul's popularity was diminishing. So Saul became jealous, petty. All of a sudden, he was threatened by David. And so he sought to take David's life. He hunted him down on a number of different occasions, looking to trap David, looking to kill him and get rid of this threat to his kingdom. So on one particular occasion, Saul was hunting for David, and he was camping in a cave one night. When David came upon him, successfully snuck up to him, and had the opportunity to kill Saul in his sleep. And those who were with him, David's companions, told him, hey, now is your chance. God's delivered him into your hands. But David refused to take his life, recognizing that this was the Lord's anointed. This was the person that God had placed in authority over him. So instead, David took a garment that belonged to Paul, took some items that belonged to Paul, or Saul, sorry, rather, and walked out of the cave. The next day, from some distance off, David showed him the items that he had taken, and he said, I had the opportunity to kill you. And Saul's response was one of actual humility. He apologized to David. He made a promise that he would never do it again. Right? In the immediate moment, Saul did the honorable thing, and yet, ultimately, his life never turned around. He never became the honorable king that he needed to be. And yet, David acted in an honorable way towards Saul. He was committed to demonstrating honor even when Saul didn't deserve that honor. Some of us have parents that were not good parents. They didn't do an adequate job. And we may have to get creative with this process, but we are still called to honor our father and mother. Others of us have had parents who have actually done us harm. They've done harm to us. They've created deep pain in our lives. And it seems as though it would be impossible to honor them. And all I can say in that situation, because that's not my situation, all I can say is do your best not to dishonor them. Dishonoring them will likely only cause you harm and increase your levels of bitterness. So give honor, even when it's unearned. But at the end of the day, don't ever dishonor. How can we instruct our children to honor? Last point I want to make. How can we instruct our children to honor? Honor is something I believe that is best learned through modeling. When I am in the presence of a family in which the parents honor one another, almost always it follows the children honor their parents. It's always made a big impression upon me when our children are in some way, shape, or form disrespecting me or disregarding me when Deborah steps up to the plate and says, "You will not speak to your father that way. He provides for you. He sacrifices for you. He protects you. You will not speak to him in that kind of a way." That's something that so impresses me when my wife steps in a moment like that. And of course, that works vice versa. I always make it a point to sternly rebuke my children whenever they disrespect their mom or treat her in a way that doesn't reflect the proper honor that she is due. However, that is only a fraction of what modeling looks like. In fact, I think that's a small portion of the modeling that I'm speaking to. The best demonstration of honor is how you honor one another as parents. And if you're a single parent, this goes to, I believe, how you honor others who are in authority over you, maybe your parents. If I am honoring my wife, Deborah, and refusing to cut her down or disrespect her, but rather am pointing out her strengths and praising her for the things that she does for our family, our kids, they pick up on that. They catch it, right? They catch it through osmosis, right? All of a sudden, they're gonna recognize the value that Deborah brings to their lives. They will also pick up on the fact when I disregard her or complain about her in any way, shape, or form. I don't want to tear her down in front of my kids. I want to lift her up. I want to praise her for who she is and all that she does for them. I believe also this works with our grandparents, and in particular speaking to our kids' grandparents, to our single parents out there. It's so important how we speak about our parents, even if they're dead and gone, how we speak about how they raised them and the influence they had in our lives, the frequency with which we speak with them and visit them and acknowledge their role as parents in our lives. All these things factor into how our kids catch this principle of honor as they see it modeled for them in front of their eyes. Again, they catch it through osmosis. They catch it through your behavior, through your words, through your actions. They pick up on those simple, everyday actions that we take and words that we use. So this principle of honor, it's a commandment from our Heavenly Father. It's a commandment that comes to us with a promise. And that promise, of course, is that you will live long in the land that God has given you. And I believe that there is a blessing in honor. I believe that it rightly orders our lives, in the sense that when I'm giving honor to somebody, all of a sudden I am in a position where I'm practicing humility. I'm elevating this person and praising this person for who they are and for what they have done. And I'm posturing myself to say, hey, I am going to learn from you. I'm going to receive from you. I'm going to place myself under you and recognize the authority that God has given you in my life. It's a commandment that comes with a blessing. And I want to encourage you to be mindful of how you can practice this in the days and weeks and months that are ahead. Let's make a habit. Let's make a habit of honoring those in positions of authority over us, and especially our mother and our father. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this instruction, this commandment, God, that comes with a blessing. It comes with a reward of long life. And God, we recognize the importance of listening to those who have wisdom and have experience. And I just pray that in all of our lives, God, that we would be able to look to those people who you've placed in our circles, and God, esteem them and honor them and recognize them for their contributions in our lives. And God, I pray especially for those of us with relationships with our parents, God, that we would understand the importance of honoring them for the role that you have given them in our lives, and that we would see the world in that way. God, that you have orchestrated things in such a way. You've organized structures in society, authority structures, so that we can function, so that we can live, God, in a way that is proper and respectful, in a way that gives regard for every person who has been placed here on the planet. And we would recognize that and see how crucial it is for us to play our part as we look to these structures of authority in our society. So we thank you for this commandment. I just pray your blessing upon all those who practice it, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you for tuning in this morning as we continue through this series. I want to encourage you to give. Give generously to the work that God is doing through our church. You can give at westsidechurch.com/give. Also, you can give through the church app or in person at Westside as well. We're going to continue in this series with the sixth commandment next week. Hope you join us for that. Thanks so much for tuning in today, and hope to see you next time. God bless everybody.